Melbourne versus Canberra. Ooh. Odds are very similar for both these games. This is at Suncorp Stadium. 39,000 is the capacity. Storm, $1.47. Canberra, $2.75. And the you see the money split down the middle. And Bill Simmons calls something the Vegas zone when the start is in sort of the zone where clearly the bookies couldn't decide it.
Mm.
And I think we're in the Vegas zone here, -6.0. To me, Sean, that says, we don't know, you tell us, the punter. Because we see there, or the Storm, 79%. Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
So, Sean, so they're getting 49% of the head-to-head, but yet the start, where they're giving away six... Yes, at the better odds at $1.90, they're getting 4/5 of the money. That's a very interesting trend.
It is, and it's Flat Stanley's time to shine. finals footy. But we don't want to give away that half point. And I know you love that 6.5 number. We don't want to give it away. The other game is the exact same. It's a bit of a copy and paste prelim final. Not too sure, so we're going to give away a converted try. It's funny. We have seen though, and you know, some blowouts. Already in this final series, so I think that's what is on the punters' minds when you see that skew towards the minus, even though the head to head is split down the middle. Not surprising that the Raiders have seen a lot of support to win the game at that price, especially as well.
Your thoughts, Joel, on the odds? That would be about right to me. But it would suggest that punters aren't certain about Melbourne. Melbourne, 19 in a row in Queensland.
Mm.
They've lost one game at Suncorp in 9 years. Yet the fact they're only 2-1 on, essentially, $1.47, suggests that they're very wary of these Raiders.
Yeah, I'm heavily invested on the Melbourne Storm to win this comp, have been for months.
Mm.
I'm also very nervous. Yeah. But they're the better team. They are just put simply the better team. They're playing on the home soil, which has been the case for this year. Canberra, the form line is still a little bit sketchy. They beat Cronulla and it was a bit of a battle.
Yep.
And they beat the Roosters. And look, the Roosters, we don't really know where they're at with their form. So I'm Camp Melbourne Storm, their forwards, Nelson Asofa Solomona, Tino, Cameron Smith, he's flying, Pappenhausen. The big key for me is multiple choice Munster. Every time he goes to the line, he's got three options, and every time he makes the right play. I was concerned about his injury. Did you see the footage? NRL Roast showed it during the week. Nico Hines versus Munster in their ping pong championship.
Yeah.
Cooper Johns was quite funny with the Rocky music, and he's holding up the pads, and it was very, very funny. If Munster's good to go, which I believe he is.
Are you saying because he's playing ping pong during the week, he must be good to go?
You've got to jump around on your knee. Look, he's clearly...
I like that theory.
Yeah, so I think he's good to go. And he's the key. And you know what else, too? I'm going to give you a roughie for the Clive Churchill shortly, but my actual pick might just be Cameron Munster.
Like, I'm on him.
He had a shocker last grand final. Remember they played the Roosters? He had a shocker. Munster, he won't do that again.
So you say he had a shocker and everyone thinks he had a shocker. I thought he was trying the hardest out of every Melbourne Storm player.
Agree with that.
They were blasted out of the 18-0, weren't they? They were down.
Yep.
And he was the one really trying things. He was stepping on blokes' heads. And he was doing silly things, but you could see why he was doing. He was trying to turn the momentum around.
Did you call his last game? Storm and who they play in the prelim, he just picked them apart. Everyone was talking up Pappenhausen, who had a blinder. But, mate, Munster was just out of this world.
Are you talking last week?
Their last game.
Against Parramatta?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
He was phenomenal.
And that's why I think Queensland, whatever he's in that team, Queensland's got a chance.
Absolutely.
So you're very warm on Melbourne Storm.
Also warm on the unders, Dan.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Because if I'm just trying to bring this up now. That's why I'm
I've got it here.
Squirreling away. What have you got
there? The last five games that they've played.
Thank you.
34, 28, 22, 40, 32. I know it's skewing high this year with the final series, but these are two teams who know how to defend.
20-14,
yep.
22-6, 12-10, 22-18, 22-10. So that confirms your point. But the thing that, and the other thing that stands out for me, how close all these games are. 20-14, Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 22-6, Canberra. That was when we came back from resumption.
Yes.
That was the resumption from COVID. And that, I think I called that game. got away from Melbourne at the end. I think Canberra scored a couple late. They'll clear the dominant team, but I'm considering that a close game, 12-10, 22-18. That's why, to me, Canberra plus six, I think, presents a lot of value, because I can see Melbourne hanging on here just with the class of Smith and Munster, that if it comes down to a big play, they might have all the answers. But, geez, six points is a big start for this game.
Can I give you a tip in this game? Number 19, Paul Momorowski will be the centre. He will not go with Brinko Lee.
Mate, Brinko Lee could be in the Queensland team.
He will not go with Brinko Lee. Momorowski is the superior player,
okay,
and I'll be shocked. That's been their problem all year. Their one problem, the Melbourne Storm, has been the right centre position.
Yep.
I'll be shocked if Brinko Lee is in that team ahead of Paul Momorowski. What do you think, Cole Mourner?
Oh, he rested Brinko Lee 3 weeks ago. So I think if they were going to make that change, they would have done it a long time ago. And I mean, everyone knows I'm no Brinko fan, but I think Bellamy set it on this team. That's what he's going to go with. It's interesting you mentioned the Raiders' form line coming to this being somewhat weak, but looking through the last sort of five or six games that Storm have played as well, it's not your usual run into the final series or even early finals games that we've come to expect in recent years. It's the Storm's run-ins dabbled with average teams that they played. They got Parramatta in week one. In hindsight, that was an easy picking for them. So I'm not as confident on the Storm as you are, Shulgin. I look across these two teams, and people call me the Raider hater. I'm very seldom with them, but they match up so well against this Melbourne Storm team. Obviously, Storm have got the chocolates at number nine, but outside of that, it's very, very even. And if you look at Jack Whiten, once again, I'm not his biggest fan, but he's absolutely flying. Papali is by far and away the best forward in the world. His game last week was unbelievable. And I agree, Dan. I think 6 points is a lot of start, and I actually like the head-to-head as well. You touched on the total, looks very big. I agree there as well.
Yeah.
I know it's new rules, and the first six games have been high scoring, but we haven't seen that in the regular season. And I think in a prelim do or die game, I think we're going to revert back to the safety first mentality, and it should be low scoring.
Yeah, weather doesn't favour that, but 27 on Friday in Brisbane and clear, but. I'm with you as well. So Canberra and the under for me. Canberra with the start and the under for me. What about you, Joel Kane?
Storm to cover and the under.
I do have a theory for the prelim and the grand final that if a team breaks, it becomes a big margin.
They
so
break
it becomes
hard.
It becomes a real celebration for the team winning, and the team losing just completely goes to water. I just don't see that happen. I see it happening in the next game. I don't see it happening in this game. I'd see this one going the distance. So, great game, but
great week, Dan, coming up, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a great week. Absolute great week.
All right, let's take a break. We've got more topics to cover here. As we repeat, Winx, it's just a horse. Get him on side.
Sam O'Keefe in the sock slide. This is it. Come on, Slippery. On the runway. Slides. It's big. It's a new world record.
Somebody stop her. She'll slide out the stadium.
That make it look easy moment was brought to you by Sportsbet's NRL Same Game Multi. Combine your favourite markets, like the Panthers to win, Inter Crichton and Tedesco to score, and you'll get bigger odds. If it's an NRL Same Game Multi, it's Sportsbet.
I think one of the best markets you've got up, Joel and Sean, of all the exotics, and I think it's the Churchill, the early Churchill market. Now, I was lucky enough or smart enough, whatever you want, of starting to squirrel away bets early. So I've got Whiten at $34. I've got Munster at $13. I've got Coruscant at $17. Right? So it's one of those things you've got to try and pick if the team's going to make it. But, you know, little bit bets during the last few weeks. But I'm still seeing, even with only four teams left, geez, there's a lot of value out there for people if they think their team can get into the grand final.
Well, this is the time to strike, Cole Mourner, isn't it? If you think your team can be there, this is the time to get the price. Is there a roughie that you found, a jewel in the rough, so to speak, Cole Mourner?
Yeah, I like the look of Kikau. We had Gordy on earlier, and he likes it as well. $41 for Kikau seems huge. I'm not sure it's the fact that he's not playing this week. He might have been, you know, he's at the back of people's minds. But they're $1.47, obviously, this week to beat South. That suggests he's going to be around $26-$27 should they win, and he's by far, he's not going to be anywhere near that.
No.
I think he'll be close to the mid-teams. When you look through that side, there's some clear standouts. He's one of them. He ticks all the boxes to win a medal. He does the things that stand out, and he can score a try as well. So if they get through this week with their short odds on to do, he's not going to be as big as what this price suggests. So I'd get on now, particularly if you look like Penrith, obviously.
Well, see, so Nathan Clear is the favourite at $5. I wouldn't touch that.
No way.
At $5, you need so many things to go right for
No
you.
Way.
Cam Smith at 8, Munster at 9, Coruscant 15, White and 5th. This is the current market. White and Pappenhausen 15, Cody Walker 17. Whoa. Funnily enough, I actually think, even though I'm not on it, I think that's good odds. Luai 23, Reynolds 26, George Williams 26, and the list goes on. You've spotted something. You were first onto this. I am with you all the way on your roughy.
Yeah, I think if the Rabbitohs win this, or Rabbit wins this, right, I just think this bloke has to win it. Cody Walker needs to play well. I don't know if a grand final is the type of game where Cody Walker goes berserk. I may be wrong. But this bloke here, and you do see a trend as well, that it does skew towards representative players and incumbent Australian players and those types of things.
Good observation you made there. I hadn't thought of that, but you are right.
Yeah, or players who are on their way to being selected in one of those teams. You know, Damien Cook, honestly, if South win this game...
I agree with this.
He'd just about be their shortest price, wouldn't they, Sean? If they made the grand final, is he their shortest price next week?
He's probably level pegging with the likes of Walker, even Reynolds, even though he's obviously the halfback and makes a lot of the calls in that game. I don't think he really stands out as what would be a Churchill medal either. So you quickly run out of people that can really win it. And Cook, once again, he ticks all the boxes for a medal winner.
Well, I think South have the fewest eligible Churchill winners. When you look at their team, I pick five players that could win it.
Let's go through them.
Right. So Walker, obviously.
Yep.
Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Cook.
That's it for me. I've only got three.
Right. Okay. But then you think of, okay, Cam Murray might have a blinder.
Right.
Okay. You could see that.
Okay.
And who was my other one? Oh, Tom Burgess could go berserk. I don't think this would happen. But if a front rower is a clear standout, they're a big chance in a Churchill.
Mm.
But we've seen in the past... Sam Moa, I think, was robbed of a Churchill because he only played 46 minutes. The Australian selectors like someone on the field the whole time.
Mm.
So I'd be loath to go Tom Burgess. You know, I was on George Burgess the year Sam won it.
George
was friggin' robbed because Sam played with a broken cheekbone. Oh, so courageous.
take the cheekbone out of it. It may go to George, might
it? No, Sam was amazing. But yeah, you're right. But yes. But I was on Brent Kite. I always like a front rower in a big game.
You backed him.
And I didn't realise, TAB, mate, $26, how cheap, you bastards. Because
you lose when you win.
I didn't realise Brent Kite had never been man of the match in any game.
Wow.
But I always thought the Churchill was reward for a great final
had
series.
Had he never, ever got
never
three Dalian points? Wow.
Never been man of the match. And that's why Damien Cook represents, I think, great value. Because he's the player of the finals, in my mind, so far, for the first 2 weeks. So... You know, I think that's at the forefront of people's minds. Oh, how good's he playing?
Who's your roughy?
Well, I would go Cook as well, but James Fisher-Harris, for me, is the sort of player that could absolutely destroy an opposition forward pack. Like Fisher-Harris is running 160, 170 metres a game.
Yep.
I could see him doing... I could see a grand final not phasing him. In fact, I think he's got the right level of white line fever.
Yeah.
So I could see him going berserk... And just completely obliterating a team on his own.
Yeah.
So 60, look, it is rare for a front row to win it, but 61, I'll be having a little something on that.
Yeah, I could make a case to back all those three boys. I think we found a couple there or a few there. Yeah, let's see.
All right, let's get to Saturday night's game. ANZ Stadium, a pro South crowd, apparently. That's the price Penrith pays for being generous. They could have played this at Bank West. Can you imagine if we had 15,000 for a preliminary final? Fairly.
But, Dan, you've got to win the grand final at ANZ Stadium. So I think it's smart to go there.
Oh, I applaud them for taking it there. You see, Sean, head-to-head, I'm surprised there's that much money on South. 40% of the head-to-head money is on South. So obviously there's a few nerves around Penrith. And then we look at the head-to-head. Again, we're in that sort of no-man's land of minus six. So they're waiting. Sean, you're waiting for the punters to decide there. And again, 60% of the money is on Penrith. So what do you read into that very even trend of betting there, Sean?
Yeah, it's. I'm actually a little bit surprised that South haven't seen more of the money at this early stage. You know, they're the hot team of the comp. At least that's what they're perceived to be. And obviously, kickouts out. That's the big story for the game for me. So I think they'll probably continue to get back to a lot of support as we get closer to kickoff.
Okay. Sounds like you're on cocaine or something.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Obviously, there's an internet issue and it was catching up. You know what surprised me here, Joel, was total match points. So it's, 43.5 for the first game, Melbourne-Canberra.
Mm.
This is 44.5.
Yeah.
This has points written all over it, doesn't it? South are not great defenders, but we know how dynamic they are in attack. And Penrith average about 27 points a game as well. So, to me, this has big score written all over it.
I think everyone's thinking that. You go through the history of these two teams, though, it is also going to skew under. So, this is huge. I love this match. One thing I will say, I had some stats I looked at during the week, and I'll share them on the show on the Fox during the week, but they skew so hard to the left, Penrith. They skew so hard. And go through the last month, how many times Kickow is involved in either the lead-up or the try. He's a big out. He's a massive out. Stephen Crichton scores, right? We know he scores in this game.
That was going to be my best bet, but I thought, no, that's too predictable.
Well, he scores two or more, maybe, if they go on and win the match big time. Cameron Murray's the cheeky chance. Where they let the tries in Penrith is through the middle of the field.
Okay.
And he's a backup merchant. He scored 3 weeks in a row, you know, that Cameron Murray.
Has he?
Yeah. Yeah, so he's a little, and he plays big minutes, so he's a cheeky chance for your try scorer markets. I do like the Panthers, but as I said, any team can win this weekend. It would not surprise me.
$5 any time try scorer Cam Murray. To me, I was saying there are certain games in prelims and grand finals, once a team breaks, I wouldn't be shocked if South won at all. But Sean, I can see Penrith, if they just sneak it 65 minutes in, I can see them going berserk and having a real celebration and winning by 14, 18 points if they establish, you know, a handy lead three quarters of the way into the game.
All right. And it's always the worry with these knockout type games when it's do or die. If a team does get away, they can pile on points.
Just on
Penrith
the Panthers
and the over for me. Yes, Joel.
Panthers and the under for me. Panthers tries from kicks, 15 on the left, two on the right. It's just, they just skew so hard to the left, which means, where does Campbell Graham sort of jumps all over the place? Campbell Graham has got to play right centre. He's the big, tall body who could possibly negate that jump from Crichton. He has to be right centre, doesn't he?
He does play right centre.
Yeah, but he jumps around sometimes on the left, but he must be playing right in this game.
Okay, this game to me is decided. We know, I think Penrith, who scored 27 points a game, and South 18 points conceded defence. It's one of the, I wouldn't say weaker, but it's not a real strength. So Penrith are going to get their points. The question is this, isn't it? Penrith's number one defence, 12.7 points a game against South Sydney's white-hot attack, which is the greatest attack in South Sydney history.
Is that right?
Think about that. 27.5 points, their previous best, 1954. 26.3 per game.
Wow.
144 points last three games, 84 points in the finals. So is that a fair assessment? This game comes down to Walker, Cook, Reynolds and co. versus the Penrith defence.
For 15 years, premierships have been won on defence. The West Tigers, they were the gunslingers, they were the shootouts. You'd have to. They didn't care if you scored 30 because they'd back themselves to score 34.
That was a high-scoring final series.
That's right.
This is a high-scoring
final
series.
That's right. So that maybe South Sydney come into play there.
Okay, so you've gone Penrith under, I've gone Penrith over. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, just on that total, I think the common denominator for me in all these games, the majority of these games so far in the final series, is how the underdog has jumped out to a really quick lead early in the game, and it's meant that the favourite and the team that's probably, you know, ultimately gone to win the game has had to change the way they would probably like to play and has gone chasing points, and we've seen some big totals. So I think, and South have been very guilty of some slow starts previously, but I think if they can keep on top of Penrith early, I think the game will naturally turn into a bit of an arm wrestle. And I like South in this game, both head to head and the line. Ooh, and also the under looks big to me.
South under, wow. I think you'd be on an island there, Sean, of picking South and the under, that both things would come up. So there you go. That could be quite – that'd be about, what, $5 something, that double there, South into the under. So good luck to you there. All right. So that's – I don't know who you go with here because we've all got different tips, haven't we? But we seem to do better when we don't agree on things. That seems to work out better in the end. Oh, how did we go last week? I went perfect. I know I went perfect because I didn't have a cent on it. So Canberra in the under – what was it? Canberra in the under, South in the over. Didn't have a cent on it.
So what – just recapping the bracket, you need
– Penrith-Melbourne.
And then Penrith. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
We'll see. So South, by the way, made 18 errors last week against Parramatta, their season worst.
Mm.
Yet, look how many points they scored. All right. Well, you've seen our tips. Now let's get to our best bets. Joel, you go first with best bets for this week.
Best bets for the Melbourne Storm. I love this play where Cameron Smith goes to the line and he plays flat to either Tino or he plays flat to Nelson or Sofa Solomona. I think Nelson scores, Dan. And when we say best bets, it's all about
value.
Price. It's all about value, yeah. Value. So Nelson or Sofa Solomona, anytime try
score. They have scored a lot of those plunge over tries this year, Melbourne down the middle.
Yep.
And the genius of Smith holding it up, and bang, then firing it off. Okay, I like. So what's your best bet? It is Tino or
Nelson, really. Nelson, anytime try scorer.
Okay, Sean Ormerod.
Yeah, it's hard to find a lot in the head-to-head or line in both games. I'm leaning both underdogs, but it's not too far away from the mark, I think. So what I am bullish on is both the totals. I can't believe in two prelim finals, you could probably argue we're left with the four best teams standing, certainly on form at the moment. I don't think we're going to see two games like we have the first six. I'm happy to have that in a double, both unders for me.
Okay. Oh, geez. I don't like it when our best bets are different because I've gone also Storm Raiders under. We're all on the same page there. But I think the points will flow in the last 20 of Penrith and South one way or the other. I think South are going to concede 18 to 20 minimum. Now, can they overcome that? We'll see. But there we go. So something for everybody.
You know, we've got an Oztag team named after us. There's
copyright issues.
So hello to that team out there.
Well done, everyone. So hang on.
The Get 'em Onside.
They've just gone out.
Taggers.
They've just gone out on their own and printed up Get 'em Onside with the font and the proper logo. Well done.
The more the merrier. Get out there. It is touch football season and tag season. More Get 'em Onside teams.
100%.
Yeah.
That's an odd thing to do, to have a betting podcast as your sort of faux sponsor.
Hey, you can do anything you like in this world, Dan.
I'm pro that, but it's just, you know, very, very well done. Well done.
Yeah.
We can't give you a Macca's gold card, but well done.
Well done.
That's it. We're just about done. Sean Ormerod, thank you very much.
Thanks, boys.
And well played by the Ormerod family cushion once again.
Boys, just, before we go.
Solid performance.
Have you got an Everest tip or a Caulfield Cup tip?
Oh, yes. Now, I reached out to our favourite Irish sports bet trader.
Yep.
Apologies, Dodd, if you're listening. But EMAC, the mad Irishman, he's come to me with Classique Legend, $4.40. He said it's third up, ready to explode. This preparation, it won really impressively first up, and then was pretty stiff in its second. It's ready to explode in this one. And he said it maps really well. Drew barrier six at that fast last night when whoever hit the red button without falling off the side of the tower. But it's ready to go. $4.40. Get on.
And Dan, for our listeners, may Buckhurst get the job done.
Yes, we're on Buckhurst. Although I haven't seen the Everest Field. I know I watched that thing last night, but I'll take Red Zell because it always wins.
That'll do, mate.
It's Red Zell.
No, Red Zell's not him.
Didn't it win like two in a row?
Yeah, won the first two, Dan. Come on, G-Tra. I'm on G-Tra. Anyway, enjoy your week, folks, and most importantly,
yes,
gamble responsibly.